sentence is to begin to defend the cause of the fatherless. Okay, God has told us about this. We understand it. It's been proven to us. What do we do for not being the father?
Another level about to happen, and it's going to be, as you're seeing things happen, that says we've never seen that before.
Not a 100-year storm, but probably a storm that may never have been seen and may never be seen again.
I mean, people are being evacuated from attics in areas never flooded before.
Of course, the biggest tornadoes we've seen before. How could that happen in Boston? How could this happen?
People understand the techniques of Saul Alinsky and how you have to organize things, and you got to keep a continual pressure to be able to change behaviors. We have to watch what the right hand's doing when they're probably we're trying to be distracted by the left hand. There's one thing our president said. He said that the Middle East needs to be organized.
The future must not belong to those who slander the prophet of Islam. And I consider it part of my responsibility as president of the United States to fight against negative stereotypes of Islam wherever they appear.
When you see Iran building ICBMs, just remember, America, that's God's for you.
But I can guarantee you this. The days when the Jewish people remain passive in the face of genocidal enemies, those days are over. This is why, as Prime Minister of Israel, I can promise you one more thing. Even if Israel has to stand alone, Israel will stand. But I know that Israel does not stand alone. I know that America stands with Israel. I know that you stand with Israel.
In 2010, the U.S. Patrol Border reported that nearly 450,000 Islamic terrorists cross into the United States of America.
We already know the news. We're trying to change it. The news is, if we don't repent, this storm is coming, and it's going to bring great devastation. We are going to suffer hugely if we don't turn.
We're being organized. We're being organized according to the Alinsky tactics, tactics that were taught by our president for 4 years in practice in his life, but he taught them for 4 years. His mentor was Saul Alinsky. He wrote a book, Rules for Radicals, which was dedicated to Lucifer.
Now, Dr. King was saying from the platform of being a Christian, you know, who I believe would be an apostle and staying constitutionally right under the laws, but also, you know, doing his best to walk righteously before the Lord and boldly before his enemy, moving in love.
I have a dream. We hold these truths to be self-evident that all men are created equal.
And I'd like to repent on behalf of the law enforcement. Would you forgive us
on behalf of those families that have been unjust? I stand before you now, and we receive your repentance in the name of Jesus.
If you don't know what God's saying, if you know what the Lord's saying, you got to find out. Why aren't you hearing what God's saying? That we can turn back to God. We can say, Lord, here we are. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways, it only takes seconds for things to happen that could take decades and generations to get over. But if we humble ourselves, God will just hear from heaven, heal our land. He'll stop this storm that's been fashioned against us.
You're about to see something come to pass in the very near future that your mind cannot even wrap around. It's going to be so magnanimous, so awful, so awesome. And the nations and the kings and the politicians of the earth, their mouth will be open. It's going to be a day like no other day. But when all is said and done, God will reclaim Israel, and God will pour out his grace and his mercy even upon the United States of America.
God is about to give us mega grace. And the mega grace will produce mega power and mega conversions and mega outpourings and mega breakthroughs and mega gifts of the Spirit. And I don't know how to measure that. I just know God says it's coming.
And God spoke to me. He said, this is the wind of the end time revival. And this wind is going to blow not just United States. Again, there's going to be another greater movement of God's Spirit.
There's seven spheres of we call them mountains, really, that if you impact these mountains, the culture, you'll transform that culture. Religion, we would say the church, second, family, education, business, arts and entertainment, media, and government. I believe the best days you know, for the churches ahead, but it's not going to look like anything like it looks like now. It's going to be exciting, exhilarating. It's going to be willing to go through things and rejoice in the fact that they went through it.
Understand that we need to build for 1,000 years.
Welcome to VFN TV. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me just in a moment is John Ramos. We're so honored that you have met us here. As you can see, these are moments of very interesting days, and today we're going to be talking about something so important as Sid Roth and Perry Stone. We're going to be discussing some things that they're discussing, things such as, like, is this the end times? Are we in the end times? And the end times are coming, but the question is, they're presenting this potentially themselves as saying this potentially is the end times. Also, you know, we just saw that how, you know, Congress, and we all stood up when Israel said, Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu said, you know, and if we got to stand alone, we'll stand alone. Well, we're going to be talking about that. One of the things that they are going to be mentioning and we'll talk about is that in 4 years, they're reporting that Israel will be standing alone with three different reasons. One of them will be energy independence, but it is amazing the times that we're in. We have to pay so close attention to it. Then tsunamis. I got a question for you. Have you been having dreams of big waves, huge waves, tsunami waves? Well, the Lord has been giving them to a lot of us and has been giving like every 10 days or something of that nature to Perry Stone. We'll be talking about that. What do these waves mean? What do waves mean in the, you think about during hurricanes, the surge that comes from the oceans is the very thing that brings the greatest amount of destruction. But we'll be talking, what is God saying prophetically and how this convergence, you think about this convergence going on, you know, some people say, yeah, there's been wars before, there's been this, there's been that, but so many things are converging right now. I mean, now is the time of great prophetic fulfillment. As a matter of fact, we're going to go to John right now, and we're going to begin this conversation. John?
I'm going to encourage you to grab a chair and settle in, because we're going to be discussing exactly everything that Greg just shared. Perry Stone sat down with Sid Roth, and he had the opportunity to talk about, in particular, Israel. Now, Israel's on the mind of so many of us today, Greg, and definitely on the heart of God. And we're going to be sharing today some of the important things in regarding end times and some of the things that Perry Stone is seeing as it relates to Israel. We're going to go right into this interview as we continue to discuss this and continue to unpack it. Don't go anywhere. Go to 382.
You said to me that the information that we will be talking about and that you've been teaching on recently is without a doubt the most significant information you have released in all of studying the scriptures, 100,000 hours.
Yes, sir.
Tell me why you know so much at this point rather than 10 years ago.
I believe very much what Daniel chapter 12 says, that in the last days, knowledge will be increased, and that's spiritual knowledge. Daniel was even told that his book would not be totally understood. And now, with the rise of fanatical Islam, with the rise of ISIS, with the rise of the idea of the Mahdi, who's supposed to come on a white horse, this is the Islamic Messiah, of course, beheading of people, all of this is fitting into those prophecies that people never did understand. And I believe it's a time to understand the mysteries of God and to understand those things that have been concealed for a generation. And there are things concealed only for a particular generation. Someone asked me the other day, they said, if the rapture teaching or the coming of the Lord teaching was so prominent in Scripture, why wasn't it taught during the time of the Reformation, 1800s, 1700s? And my answer was very simple. How can you teach on something when there's no signs being fulfilled saying it's the last days? Israel was not a nation then. Jerusalem was not the capital. The Jews were scattered across the earth. Israel was a swamp and a desert. And Israel had to be a nation. Jerusalem has to be the capital. The Jews have to return. The land has to blossom like a rose. Israel has to fill the world with fruit. That's 5 of 10 major prodigies that have to happen. And so when it's not...
What is a prodigy?
It's an omen, a sign, an indicator. And so, in other words,
so all the signs are here.
Yeah, Israel, Jerusalem, and the Hebrew people, whether people want to believe this or not, are the indicator of the Messiah's return. And it goes back to that prophecy in Daniel 70 weeks. The Gentile church was grafted in at the end of the 69th week with Jesus' resurrection. And there's been this Gentile body predominantly since that time, and now the Jewish people are now being reached, which is a Romans 11 sign. And when God opens the eyes of the Jewish people, now this is in Romans 11, this shocks some people, he will eventually close the door of the Gentile, And that door will close through the rapture of the church coming for the church, Jesus coming for the church. Then he focuses all of his attention back to Israel. The book of Revelation is very clear about that. The last days, that tribulation period, is one focus, not the church, not believers. It's the focus on the holy ones of Israel, the Jewish remnant, etc. It's a focus to them.
My belief, Perry, is if you misunderstand God's plan for the Jew in Israel in the times that we're living in, you will then go into further heresy. And that could be one of the very major dividing lines between the true church and the counterfeit.
It's so important, because what we need to do is really pay attention. There's so many different things that we can look at the scripture, but when we, you know, to get a time reference, if you will. But we need to look at Israel.
And it's so important when you think about it. This is the differences, too. Israel wasn't a nation all those times.
Right.
And we didn't have the technology where Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu just addressed the entire world.
Correct.
And with the probably the only sane speech that we've heard in the world.
Yeah.
You know, that is, and it's like it's becoming the epicenter that it has to be to fulfill the prophecies that are taking place. And I mean, you think this is that moment. But you think about every nation would turn against Israel. It says that, you know, but you think, well, you know, not America. Up until this current leadership, it just seemed to be a foreign thing, because the people of America overwhelmingly, you know, stand with Israel. But the problem is that we also individually stand with wanting our jobs, our money, our stuff,
that's
and
right.
our things. And the thing about it is, if we choose ourselves over Israel while we're saying we stand for Israel, the truth is, we're rejecting Israel. Mm-hmm. We've got to be willing to lay it all down. More when we get back from the break.
This is VFN TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back. Is religion banned in the workplace? This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulow.
The question was, did I send trainees on a training trip for a couple of weeks, and they are typically put together with roommates in hotels. I've had a trainee who, she likes to read her Bible and have quiet meditation time, and she's concerned that having a roommate would interfere with that.
When you have a situation like this, it depends on your policy. If the policy is for economic reasons that you have the employees have roommates, then she should have a roommate also, and she certainly can go to a quiet place in the hotel and study the Bible. You don't want to do anything to interfere with her sincerely held religious beliefs or Bible study or times of prayer. You should try to accommodate that, obviously. But I don't think you have to exclude your general policy of having roommates if that's the company's policy. As long as it's equally enforced, there should be no problem.
For more information about your rights in the workplace, visit us on our website at aclj.org. That's aclj.org. Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. You know, we just, you know, you saw on our intro about, and you're going to see just a moment again, you know, where Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu is saying before America and the world, if Israel has to stand alone, right, we'll stand alone. This is the first time
They've done it before.
And he says this is the first time in history that Israel's been able to defend herself, right?
Yeah. And, you know, what's interesting, up until this time, since 1948, when Israel became a nation and Harry Truman, who was a president at that time, put the full backing of the United States behind that, you know, recognizing them, I just found out, Greg, during the movie The Four Blood Moons that was just released, they indicated—
Which is being re-released again.
I heard. They said that Harry Truman took 3 days, 3 days to think about this. He went away. What he was going to do, many people in his cabinet that said that they would walk away from his cabinet if he recognized Israel. And it was only been 50 years since then that's you know, what actually happened. What did Harry Truman do?
When he went away for 3 days, it's been 50 years.
It's been 50 years to think about what he was going to do in terms of recognizing Israel.
So when a man went
Israel,
to go seek the Lord, like David seek the Lord, and he comes back, it's been 50 years since that time of him seeking the Lord.
And since he made the decision, but you know, because they didn't know what he did for those for 3 days. What did Harry Truman do for 3 days? Where were you?
Right.
And it's known that he spent 3 days reading the Bible.
Wow.
He spent 3 days reading the Bible when he came back.
Which his mother read to him on her knee.
Yes.
Growing up.
Yes.
Homeschooling works.
Yeah. And he said, you know what? I want to be known as a president that recognized Israel as a Jewish state, came back and actually, you know, signed in its document 8 or 11 minutes after Ben-Gurion, Prime Minister of Israel, right, said we'll become a Jewish state. Excellent. So throughout the years, we've had this history.
We've said that the force of America will be behind this decision.
Full force, yes.
Full force of America will be behind this decision. And so you look at it today and you hear, you know, what is America's force being used for?
Yeah, well, certainly not to support Israel. Many in Congress do, many Americans do. Mm-hmm. But in this administration, we could just look at some recent occurrences of what this administration has done towards Israel.
Well, you know, this thing makes me think about just what Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu just said, mm-hmm, at the Congress, is where he said, you know, that even if we got to stand alone, we got to stand alone. As a matter of fact, take a look at this.
But I can guarantee you this. The days when the Jewish people remain passive in the face of genocidal enemies, those days
are over. Isn't that amazing when you're seeing this? Because we're about to hear from, say,
Prime Minister, yes,
and Perry, right? It's, yeah, talking about that,
I can
that, right?
promise you you're one
exactly
more thing.
Talking
Even
about
if
that,
Israel we has to stand
it.
Alone.
It's sort of like you see the mob standing before, you know, Jesus, and about freeing him. Everybody's just like caught up in the content of what's going on, not even understanding the prophetic times. And they're going like, crucify, we want Barabbas. And it's like, do y'all know what you just said? That Israel's going to be alone, and we just cheered it. I mean, I'm cheering too. I'm like, yeah, you defend yourself. Even if you got to do it alone. It's like, wait a minute. That means we're not with you.
That's right.
Just begin to think about
up
that.
Up until
right?
this point, yeah, Israel being dependent upon the United States has been our greatest blessing, not their greatest blessing.
Yeah.
So this is what Sid and Perry are talking about.
And that's what he just said. He just said no longer is Israel dependent on someone for its defense. They can finally now defend themselves. What are they saying? What's
well, in 4 years, mm-hmm, Perry Stone is sharing with Sid Roth, you're going to watch this right now, why Israel will be able to stand alone apart from the United States.
Wow.
Watch this.
But you were told information that I have never heard anywhere before, mm-hmm, that in 4 years, mm-hmm, Israel will no longer be dependent on America?
Yeah, and let me, without giving, divulging the person, it's a very noted professor with a university who's very connected with the Knesset and the Israeli leaders. And we were spending hours together, just him and I discussing. He said, I'm going to tell you something that's going to shock you. He said, in 4 years, Israel will no longer need the United States. And I said, you better explain that one to me, because since 1948, we have been like an umbilical cord. We're connected. Right. He said, I'm going to give you the four reasons why. He said, number one is the gas fields. There's a Leviathan gas field, and some gas fields have been discovered off the Mediterranean coast, which is in Israeli territory. And what Israel's going to do eventually is turn everything over into natural gas away from oil. And we've had people in the United States talk about doing that, but they've not done it because the oil companies are so big and so much income there. So he said, with natural gas, we won't need to worry about what happens with Saudi oil or anywhere else. He said, number two, the technology. He said, a lot of people have depended on the technology in California and all the technology of the U.S., the Internet and that type of thing. Israel now has geniuses working on their own technology that they won't need China, they won't need Russia, and they will not need the United States for technology. They will come up with their own technology that's going to blow people's minds. They already have military technology that we don't know much about. And I said, probably the U.S. knows, but the world doesn't know. Let me just leave that one alone. But that brings me to the third one. He said, there will also come a time, and I would prefer to leave the nations out and the countries out that he told me about, but he said, the military equipment will soon be bought not from the United States, but from other nations, and Israel will have their own military equipment. Some of the things like lasers, laser-guided missiles, the Iron Dome, things of this nature, they're going to be able to come up with more advanced technology inside of Israel. Now, sometimes they have to use Europe or the United States with certain parts or certain things and bring it together, but they're going to be able to do that. The other thing that totally fascinated me is he said the Jewish people and Israel is coming up with medical breakthroughs that you will not believe.
Yeah, you know, when I heard you talk about that, I think the world is going to flock to Israel when they get sick.
hey, let me say this. They already have a treatment for diabetes. They already have, I've got to be very careful here because this could open up a can of worms, but Alzheimer's, there is a treatment being developed for that. They have systems developed, and I had a person who was a very heavy pharmaceutical purchaser, one of our ministry partners, and wins awards for pharmaceuticals. And I said, honestly, tell me the truth. Will Israel have the cures to diseases? And the person said, yes, but I don't know they're going to allow them in the United States because the pharmaceutical industry.
Do you think about this, that If you missed the series that we had on VFN TV, we're going to make that available to you on the VFN Torch. It'll be a related, actually, this article will be related again on the VFN Torch and the program so you can see it. But with it, we'll actually have that whole series to show as amazing technology and innovations that God, how God has blessed Israel to be a blessing. And they are being a blessing.
To the nations.
Which throws, when you watch the series that we did on that, you're going to be surprised. Like, why in the world would anybody not want to be in good relationship with Israel, who is blessing so many different people?
It was their technology that protected everyone that went to the World Cup in Brazil. You know, it was their security and their technology.
Our very program, everything comes from all the different technologies and the things that's happening. Of course, you know, they say they're sitting on all types of fuel reserves, but they're talking specifically here about
natural gas.
Mm. And under the Dead Sea, there's all kinds of resources. I understand that as well. But technology and military power, we saw that, you know, in Lebanon, I believe it was, when there's some sort of cantankerous thing happening on the northern border, and this whole facility was there, but when they woke up in the morning, it wasn't there, because Israel took over their cameras and gave them a false image, a false image when they're looking at it. So they're thinking everything's okay. And while they were doing that, Israel just kind of swept it off the face of the earth.
Yeah.
And then when they woke up the next day, they found out it was empty. There was nothing on the ground at all.
It's not the first time. Also, when they went to the Iranian nuclear facility, they were able to implant a virus into their system that shut down and messed up all their centrifuges. So Israel has the technology, they have the capability, but also reminds me of the prophetic word that John Paul Jackson gave regarding secret weapon that Israel has. What else?
Used everything that they have, and believe me, the small guy's always got something in reserve.
There's always something in the back.
The smaller guy. But the biggest thing is Israel's got God, defending her. And, with that, I think about this moment in time you thought, you would never see. Because when you see, us applauding, and I was applauding thinking, that's right, Israel will defend itself, And when Prime Minister Bibi says, we'll stand alone, and it's like, wait a minute, that means we're not standing with them. You have to remember, we forget sometimes we identify ourselves by the 530 folks in Washington, D.C., but there's 320 some odd million of who selected them folks to go there. They're not America. We're actually America. So wherever we do as a nation, we do as a nation.
Mm-hmm.
We can't disassociate ourselves from the reality of our choices of leadership are making these choices for our nation, and we could suffer great consequences. And I think, too, that the confusing thing is, and Jesus said, you know them by their fruit. But the confusing thing is that you really know us by our fruit. You don't know us. You don't know us by our constitution anymore.
Definitely not by our words.
You don't know us by what we say. You don't know us by our business cards, but you just know us by our fruit. And some of the fruit right now in America and the church and some of the things that we're doing in regards to, not honoring God and not wanting to go his way and will changing scripture, changing definition, replacement theology in every way, including, some people trying to replace Israel. And it's like, this is not good. But the hope is this. The hope is no matter where your nations come and nations go, but God's nation's forever. The kingdom of God's forever.
That's right.
And we're intertwined with the vine. And the Jews are the original branches of the vine. Jesus, Yeshua, the Messiah, is the vine. God is the gardener. And as Gentile believers, non-Jewish believers, we're grafted. And everything is pointing now to Israel. Everything's pointing to Israel. And the most sane leadership is coming out of leadership, coming out of Israel. And it just makes such sense. And remember this, and I know we got to go to break, but there's 7 billion people on the face of the earth.
Mm-hmm.
It's reportedly 2,250,000 some odd Christians on the face of the earth. But there's 12 million Jews. And look what God is doing. Look how powerful.
12 million Jews.
And only six of those are in Israel. And so God, and this is one thing that this word says, and part of prophetic fulfillment is that, all God will gather all the Jews and bring them to this blessed land. I mean, who's not going to want to go there? Americans are going, signing up now for IDF, and they're serving in the Israeli Defense Force. But it's going to be potentially this land grab, coming up where you know, the Psalms 83 mm-hmm. that we talk about in this recent prophetic conference, and that even Pastor John Kilpatrick with Church of His Presence and some others have talked about, that there's going to be a sudden land grab. Somebody's going to try to come against Israel. I would say, you know, Islam. And then God's going to go, you're going to lose your land and possibly your life if you do that. And he's the land, the original land promised to Israel is going to be in the hands of Israel. So there'll be plenty of room.
It's interesting. Every time they seem to get, yeah, they get attacked. Exactly. Shore side, you know.
Yes.
Every time they get attacked, their land continues to keep growing. Imagine that.
It's an expansion program. More we get back from the break.
This is VFN-TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Don't be deceived. Disciples make disciples. David Platt and Francis Chan tell us in the Multiply Movement. Listen up.
I think we dilute what it means to be a disciple from the beginning. We want to give people an assurance. All right, you're saved. You said it. You raised your hand. All right, you're saved. Without really letting some time be there, not where they have to prove their salvation or earn their salvation, but letting some time be there to see, yeah, has there been a heart change? Like, is the Spirit of God in this person? I don't want to tell somebody, and as a pastor or just as a brother or sister, I mean, I love a person enough to say, hey, we'll wait and see. George Whitefield, preacher, Great Awakenings, thousands and thousands of people at a time. He'd be asked after he preached to thousands of people how many people were saved, and he said, we'll see 6 months or a year from now. And I mean, that's so different from today. We're like, oh, we had this many or this. But, and he's not saying, well, they got to earn their salvation in the next 6 months. It's, hey, let's wait and see. And as people have a heart change, then I think they'll genuinely, when they read commands in Scripture, they'll say, I want to obey these. How do I obey these? And there'll be a desire there, as opposed to what we often find ourselves doing, and that's saying, well, do this, do this, do this, and people walk away like the rich young ruler that you talked about earlier. Okay, I feel bad. I mean, I'm not going to do that. And there's just not been a fundamental heart change that then leads to life change and new purpose, new mind, new dreams, new passions, that really feeds into a desire to make the gospel known.
I mean, it's like the Multiply, it's the MultiplyMovement.com with Francis Chan and David Platt. This is so important. He said, go make disciples. If you don't have anybody in your life at this very moment that can disciple you, find somebody who will. Maybe VineFellowshipNetwork.org is for you. Or go to MultiplyMovement.com. He's called us to be disciples.
Which, by the way, if you haven't gone to the VFN Torch lately, you need to go to VFNTV.com. And in the menu, it says VFN Torch. There's all types of aspects to be able to just quick information at a moment's notice. Any topic that you can imagine probably is in there. And a biblical perspective, you know, what's actually happening. But what does the Word of God say about this? Including prophetic words of knowledge and wisdom that has been shared. So if you get a chance, go to VFNTV.com and click on the VFN Torch in the menu there.
Welcome back to VFN-TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. I don't know if you've been having dreams with large waves in them, but I think about so many of them. And, you know, the first one I remember is the one that Amber, my daughter, Amber Barr, had. And it was just this huge tsunami coming to America, and it just stopped. But this was some time back. And some people went out to look at it. Some people just partied on the beach. And then some people went and prepared. It was interesting. But now they're just coming time after time again. I know that Pat, he actually had, you know, Pat Hamilton with the program, the producer there, that he had a dream of a 100-foot, it was a 100-foot wave where it was, which is really important to understand this. He was on top of it, surfing it. And, you know, these things that we're talking about, God's going to take care of his folks.
Yeah.
And Pat can't surf, but obviously the anointing was on him to do that, right?
And so his shoes are big. And then, but it was 100-foot wave.
Yeah.
It was huge. And it was coming towards the land. And I was on a sabbatical in a time of prayer. And the Lord shown me, you know, this huge dark cloud over the center of the United States. I mean, just a big part of the middle part of the United States. And in that, a small little thin tornado came out of it, and everybody was looking at this, you know, they were intimidated by this little pencil thin tornado coming out of this huge sky, dark sky, and they were watching it, and they didn't realize what was about to happen. What happened was the next thing the Lord showed me in this night vision, that the entire sky fell, this whole dark storm hit the earth. And when it hit the earth turned into, even though it's still like earth, it just turned into water. And it created this huge tsunami, this huge wave that was going west.
Mm.
And it was just bringing to mile high. So you think about going towards Denver, which is, you know, mile high
wow.
stadium and all that. It was just huge going that way. And it's just the sea of humanity. And these things purge things, you know,
yeah.
waves purge things. But I noticed also you were,
yeah.
you know, had that.
I had actually two visions. One vision was a couple day vision where I saw a couple standing by the beach, by the shore. A woman had a red sweater, and they were just standing there. And before you know it, this huge mega wave, if you will, was coming right towards them. And I saw them make a turn like they were going to make a dash to try to get away from it. But this wave was so huge and so forceful, it literally overtook them. And as I was looking into the waters, it was rushing upon the shore, I actually saw people screaming in the water. They were just terrified and
right.
screaming. The water came upon the shore, and as the water drew back into the ocean, I looked over the land, yeah, over the beach area, and I saw these white mountains. They were huge,
like sand dunes.
And the deeper I looked and the closer I looked, I realized it wasn't sand. There were piles of bodies everywhere. And that was just this one vision during the day. I had another vision.
These things just keep coming.
Yeah,
they
just
keep coming.
And it's water, it's violent, and right. it's a storm. This one was a storm was brewing in the water, and I'll give you just kind of the end of it here, where there was a line of horsemen that were riding upon this wall. The front horseman was standing up, and they were on a single file line. This horseman was holding a torch, and around this walled city, if you will, the border, if you will, and to the right of it, it was dark and gloomy, but yet the water, the storm was brewing. And you can tell this huge wave was about to come crashing
right.
upon the land.
Right.
But the horsemen, the watchmen on the wall, they were sounding the alarm to the very, very end. But it was coming.
So God always puts a warning out. He lets us know ahead of time.
Yeah.
He says Amos, I believe, chapter 3 maybe, where he says, you know, that he doesn't do anything unless he tells it first. And these are warnings coming after another. And I think about, you know, one more. This in one night, the Lord spoke to me and my wife. And in that night, and he showed her, you know, the waters coming from the sky, and showed me floods coming from the ground, and there was just no way to get away
wow.
from what's coming. But the good thing is the best of times and the worst of times, because this is going to be a great harvest. And I believe a lot of things you think, you know, how is this thing going to get cleaned out? And it's like a tsunami. Perry Stone is having the
yes.
same. As a
yes.
matter of fact, take a look at this.
Perry. Tell me about these most recent visions that you've had, because I don't think in terms of Perry Stone getting prophetic end time visions. But has this been going on your whole walk in the Lord?
Yeah, in 1996, and I won't go into detail about this, when I saw the Trade Center shrouded in black with five gray tornadoes coming off of it. Our partners heard me to preach this in 1999. And when the Trade Center attack happened, I knew that's what that was. I had an incident. I talked about this publicly. Off the coast of Louisiana, there would be an oil rig. Something happened to an oil rig that would cause the economy to really have havoc there. And I even called a pastor in Louisiana and told him when the BP oil spill happened, it was a fulfillment of the five things I saw. The most recent one said, however, it deals with tsunamis. I probably once every 2 weeks, I have a dream of a tsunami. And the odd
once
thing,
every 2 weeks.
Oh, every
I don't want that to slip by.
It's getting. I don't mean this in a negative. It's getting ridiculous almost to the number of times it happens. And my wife keeps saying, "Why are you keep having these?" I said, "Honey, the only thing I can figure is the Lord's given us a warning." The odd thing is, one appeared to have been on the West Coast, And the other was very strong on the East Coast, which I thought was a little odd. But let me just tell you where I was, and I'm not going to name the city. I'm going to ask people never to contact me and ask me. I will only release it if the Holy Spirit tells me, mm-hmm. because it creates fear in people. Right. And we shouldn't do that. However, we were near water in this vision, and my wife and I and my family were together, and it was a two-story duplex. It's almost like we were staying in the area. And I saw the city. It's a very beautiful city. And the dark clouds were forming above it, and I knew a storm was coming. A storm can be spiritual, it can be natural. And when I turned, I remember telling my wife, and I'm reducing parts of this to get to the point, something big is about to happen. We've got to get everybody into safety. Something big is about to happen. And I went over to the top story. Now I'm on the second floor. I looked through this glass window, huge, beautiful glass window, and you could see two things. You could see a very beautiful bridge, and you could see water. And all of a sudden, three things happened at once. The first thing is I saw, you've seen the big interstate signs that tell you what city you're going to.
Of course.
This one named a city that I'll leave out. But this bridge connects to that city, because I checked it out the next day on a map of this type of bridge. And I saw a tsunami wave hit. I don't want to estimate. It could have been 50 to 70 feet high. It was the biggest thing I've ever seen. And when it came in, then I saw the bridge buckle and the bridge collapse. Now, it almost looked to me as though the bridge was, there was an explosion at the base of the bridge. And I couldn't figure if the tsunami was caused by some kind of sea explosion and the bridge was separate. But here's what I did see that shocked me. I saw, the only way for me to describe this is to say it was the Twin Towers coming up out of the water in a ghostly look, real ghostly, real, not a hologram, but it was just like a ghost. That's the only way I can describe it. And they came up out of the water and disappeared into the atmosphere. And this wave came in and was hitting the first and second levels of these buildings. And when I saw the Trade Center, the first thing when I woke up, I said, oh, Lord, I came out of this vision. I call it a dream vision because it was very real, very precise. The first thing I thought about was, okay, was the bridge a terrorist attack? Did they get underneath the bridge and blow a bridge up? That was my first thought because I saw the towers, which was a terrorist attack. So I'm not sure if the bridge is connected to the terrorist attack, but the tsunami was natural. But I'm telling you, it is absolutely... Sid, in 10 days, I had three dreams of a tsunami. But they were three-dimensional, full color. You know the difference between just a dream and what I call a night dream.
But you know the fact that you keep having these dreams,
it's the same,
this tells me that it's going to happen in a short period of
time. And in one of them, I never will forget this, there was a solid white rock. When the 9/11 attack happened and I had the vision of the tower shrouded in black, I'm running down saying, we have to get in the rock. The rock is Christ. And I was saying when I had the 9/11 vision in 1996, and some of the folks that followed our ministry will know that. And we had pictures. I had pictures drawn of it in 1999. And you know about that. And I remember saying twice, we have to get to the cleft of the rock. We have to hide in the rock, which is Christ. Just a few weeks ago when I had the one tsunami dream, I was climbing into, you know what the Garden Tomb looks like in Israel?
Of course.
This was solid rock with an opening, and the water was not coming into this opening that I was into. It was passing me, but it was just water everywhere. And the Lord just showed me, he said, this is the cleft of the rock. I am the rock. I'm the foundation. And all people need to understand is be hidden in me. Be hidden in my presence. Know my presence. Know how to pray. Know how to walk with me. And I would say this to anybody watching me right now, and that is the greatest thing I could say to you with the last days is what Jesus said. Do not be afraid. Believers don't have to be afraid. The world has to be afraid. Sinners should be terrified, okay? If I'm a sinner, I would be terrified. But not the believer that knows the end of the story. But we have to be informed. We have to be informed to inform our loved ones who are not saved. I want people to know, have knowledge, be informed, not to be in darkness that the devil takes us unaware. But you've got to fill yourself with knowledge so that you can sit down when things happen and say, look here, this was predicted. This was, God is real. God gives us prophecy to prove he's real because he foretells it thousands of years in advance and then he does it and we get to see.
You think about this. I think about this and I just want to encourage you that our Lord is in control. Mm. In Isaiah 59:19, he says very specifically, he says, for when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. Against who?
against the enemy. And pretty much what we're hearing in unison, if you put us all together, you know, we went to the conference up in the summit up in South Carolina and met with a lot of prophetic folks there. And it's just kind of what we're hearing is, you know, as you see every day on the program, you know, some difficult times, mm-hmm. you know, a waves of trouble are coming to America. But understand that if you just see it as, hey, you know, we got to get some boats, this is water, you're going to miss it because it's a wave of just evil, you know, whatever's in people's hearts just begin to do. And we're seeing it take place throughout the world right now. Mm-hmm. We're seeing it take place in the Middle East. But notice how God stands for Israel. And you, as a Christian, need to get in tune with that reality. We serve the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and we're into the family through his son, Jesus Christ, and all the promises of Abraham are ours. And we have to get in tune with this. It's no longer like them and us and them. It's like we're one in Christ Jesus. And it's time for us to say, you know what? God's raising a standard, and we got to get into the knowledge like he's talking about right here. Become a disciple. We talk about it quite often, and you can see it on the lower part of your screen right now. You know, go to Multiply Movement, multiplymovement.com or whatever it is, and go there with Francis Chan, David Platt, and say, you know what, I'm going to become a disciple now. I'm not going to wait till I'm overcome by this mm-hmm. huge terror wave that's coming or whatever, but I'm going to be there part of God's standard that's
today's
being raised.
Today's the day.
Today's the day. You need to make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life. You don't want to drown in the coming flow. We're going to talk more about convergence of so many prophetic words that are coming, which could possibly be Rick saying.
Perry Stone.
Yeah, Perry Stone saying that this could possibly be the end times. More when we get back from the break.
This is VFN TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Where am I? Anyway.
You're in a hardware store.
I'm in a hardware store.
For some reason. On your anniversary.
25th anniversary.
You must be lost.
We've done some other things.
Obviously you're lost.
He meant to go to the jewelry
store. Actually, the reason why our dog is drowning.
Oh, okay.
Our dog is drowning because of this new gutter system that just takes all the water and just dumps it in one spot. And the dog's like, I'm drowning. And so we're trying to find this little bendy thing. Anyway. And so I tell this clerk that or the person with the vest. And she goes, oh, wow, that's so great because I work at a legal office where we help with divorce.
Oh, gosh.
And it's so good to hear.
Oh. Okay.
It's so good to hear. No, she was like, here's the divorce papers.
Yeah. Right. Clarity to this here. Like, Thank you.
She's just so, it's just so good to see somebody still married.
Wow.
Isn't that cool?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's so cool. So I told Donna, I said, Donna, go ahead and load the lumber on the truck.
Yeah.
Just joking. You know, I'm joking. Please don't write to Pat.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back to VFN TV. These are amazing things,
yes, they are.
And when you look at JJ, some of the things we talked about, and you can find out more about that on the VFN Torch. You can see it on the bottom of your screen right now. Go to the VFN Torch and get connected because all these prophecies.
What's JJ again?
Jesus and the Jews. Mm-hmm. You know, ever how the church and the Jews, what happens. And right now as we speak, you know, we have the Secretary of State, John Kerry, doing exactly what God said would happen.
Yeah.
And he's negotiating with darkness against the light. And that's exactly what the Lord is showing.
That happens.
Yes.
It doesn't turn out well for Christians, does it?
No, we end up in some sort of communal living situation. Mm. I wasn't really sure. The interesting thing, too, it was tied around entertainment and things. But let's just get right in here to 386 because, I mean, this looks like, you know, similar things that was happening in the 30s with Hitler and all that. And they were talking about that. Matter of fact, let's go right now.
Could it be?
I have had three Jewish women in their late 80s. All that were Holocaust survivors. One was 5 years old when she personally met Hitler. He came out of the truck, out of his security vehicle, walked up to her, put his hand on her and said, what a beautiful blonde-haired, blue-eyed Aryan girl. And she was Jewish. She accepted the Lord. And these three women said to me on three different occasions, now this has happened, Sid, the past 3 years. It's 1933 all over again and America can't see it. The Nazi Party took over the banking system. They took over all regulations. They regulated what you could eat. They regulated the type of table you had to have in a restaurant. they took over the healthcare system. Germany had great healthcare until Hitler socialized it. And they went through 15 things, and I can't go through all of those, of course, but they went through, these are women who survived the Holocaust. They went through 15 things that said it would blow your mind. All 15 are happening right now in the United States.
And simultaneous to this, blood moons all over the map.
Yeah.
What is the area that most are not speaking about?
I'm going to give you two. In the same setting of the blood moon cycle, there's going to be signs of blood, fire, and pillars of smoke. I did a lot of research and found out this was volcanic eruptions. When the first blood moon happened in April 15th of 2014, that day a volcano was erupting. For the next couple months, volcanoes started erupting all over the Earth. When you see the volcanic eruptions come in line with the blood moons, then we know this is not just another cycle of blood moons, but it actually is a sign of the end. The thing said that thrilled me, I've got to get into this, that I never saw anybody tap into, was the three recent blood moon cycles in 70 years. And watch how they're connected. Here we go. One was in 1949 and 50. That was after Israel was restored as a nation. One was in 1967 and 68. That was after Jerusalem was reunited as the capital of Israel. And the next series is 2014, of course, 2015. Now watch what happens. In 1949 and 50 was the great healing revival, where most of the young men in it were under 30 years of age. They were young men heading up this healing revival. Oral Roberts started preaching at age 30 in 1948. Morris Sorella was only 17 years of age. Okay, they were young men.
You don't think of that.
You don't think of that right now, but they were all young, all under 30 practically. Now, watch this. I love it. The second wave of blood moon, 67, 68, was the charismatic renewal. The official date of the charismatic renewal was June 1967. This is what absolutely, now my hair's standing up right now. You have to just bear with me a minute. I feel this quickening of the spirit. What's happening in 2014, 2015, in the cycle that we're in with this series of blood moons that fall on Passover and Tabernacles back to back, is the last day outpouring of the Spirit on sons and daughters. Sid, we're in it right now. Just like there was a healing revival in the first cycle of blood moon, there was a charismatic renewal. This is the sons and daughters outpouring.
What's going on with young people and you?
Oh, listen to this. I'm going to be 56 years of age, okay? But God told me I was going to father a generation. I didn't even know what that meant. Last year, we had 4,100 young people show up at a conference. Over 500 were saved and 500 baptized in the Holy Spirit. This year, 6,200. We had to cut off registration.
Young people are so hungry for God, just as it was prophesied,
just like
that they would be, the sons and the daughters, that they can't fit all of them in their building.
It's incredible. And it's just not with us. I could name other ministries, but there's other youth ministries that are having 5, 6, 10, 15, 20,000, 30,000 kids show up. And Sid, the great thing about it is they want the move of the Holy Spirit. That's what.
These are truly the days of Elijah.
Yes, they are.
You know what I'm saying? This is definitely the outpouring. And the Lord has just really, laid on our heart in the context of, what was Azusa Street? Americanism of the Second Azusa Street. Well, those are young folks.
Mm-hmm.
These are young folks. Azusa Street, I think the average age is like around 16.
14 to 16.
Or 14 to 16. And today we're living out a lot of fruit from that. And we're talking about the fullness of the gospel.
Miracles, signs, wonders, teeth growing out.
Creative miracles where no teeth, no finger, hand, that type of thing. And it was just a natural type thing. I think about, how, do you remember how the Lord showed you that night vision where you're standing there and the young folks are beginning to minister?
Yeah. I had this vision where this young lady were in some sort of auditorium was just sharing a little bit. I can tell just from her attire and just how she was talking that she was just a young believer in the Lord. And she just taught for a few minutes out of her time with God, her abiding time. And then she started to lay hands on people and pray for them. And so I'm watching this and, people are being prayed for. But then when she gets to about the fifth person, she lays hands on this person and literally like a domino effect, Greg. I mean, just one after the other, the whole like auditorium sections at a time just fell under the glory of God. It was so powerful. And it was hundreds that just fell at one time.
Right. We've seen some things like this. It's just very powerful. And we've been preparing, and I encourage you to prepare. Don't quarantine off anybody in the church family and say, we'll get to you when you're 13. Now is the time to be able to say, there is no such thing as a baby Holy Spirit.
That's right.
A smaller God that
the younger you are, the more less barriers you have.
Yes.
That you just go after God. And it's just, it's a natural thing for the things to happen that we see in the book of Acts. And it's like, that's what the world is tired of the counterfeit. Even Moses said, think about this. Moses said, you know, if you don't go with me, if your presence is not with me, he's talking to God, that God calls Moses' friend. He says, I don't want to go because the only thing that differentiates us from anybody else is you and your presence. Mm. And then his presence is fullness of joy and power and this outpouring. And we've seen, I mean, literally a glory zone.
Yes.
You know, of what God is doing and going to do. And the nations are going to be stirred. And you hear about every, all the programs that we talk about that. I just want to pray with you right now. We're going to pray and just begin to call this in. John, would you lead us in prayer? And I want you to grab a hold of this so you too can be a part of what God is going to do. Just say, God, I want to be a part of it. And understand, being a part means then you have to begin to pour your life into all, including the young folks.
Lord, we just thank you that you speak, God. We thank you that you tell us in advance what you're doing on the face of the earth. And Lord, we thank you that you want no one to perish but come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Father, today we stand together in unity for Israel. Lord, we pray that your protective hand, the iron dome of God, Lord, would be over Israel, that you would protect them and that no harm would come against the Jewish people.
Yes.
Father, we pray that you would continue, Lord, to give us a heart, Lord, towards you, a heart of repentance, that you would save America, God.
Yes.
And that you would use us, Lord, to continue to bless our Jewish brothers and sisters.
Yes.
And Lord, bring revival to America and to the ends of the earth. Use our young people. Call the prodigals in now, Lord. And we thank you and rejoice for what you're doing in these days.
Lord, and we just ask you for all the young from the north, east, south, and the west. And Lord, just release a grace on how to speak now. Expect a now move. You know, the time is now. The urgency of now in the younger generation, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. We want to give special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com. On your mobile applications, you can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.
You know, when you think about the church, you know, and what the enemy has done, the mindset, the vocabulary, the first thing that God started doing with us is to recapture the vocabulary again of what God is actually saying. I mean, you can really mess things up by changing the meaning of words. You know, you can just change the meaning of it, and all of a sudden you've got things going in a different direction. And so we had to rediscover, you know, what is the church? And we found out that the church is not a building. You know, we like buildings. I got a couple of good friends that are buildings, you know. But the whole thing is that the church is people. You know, we're the building of God, that know ye not that Christ dwells in you. The hope of glory is inside of you. All these wonderful things that we talk about. But understanding this is that, you know, so when you begin to be the church and you're abiding with God and you're hearing him and you're operating in family, you know, you have brothers and sisters and fathers and mothers and the Lord and all this wonderful stuff, and it's just fun. You know, you look for a time to go there, but you still have, you know, things you're dealing with. You're still in the same storm everybody else is in. You're still in the same nation. You're still in the same workplace. You know, so you're having these pains and these struggles you're going through, and it's difficult, but yet it's encouraging that we have this. But, you know, John, I could only imagine how hard it is for somebody right now. If you're listening to us today and you don't have that relationship, I mean, you love Jesus, you know, you're born again, but you're in this whole, I don't know, the best way I can describe it is tradition, where, you know, men's philosophies and concepts and programs, and but you're not in family. I mean, you can call things family. I mean, so many people call things family, but you know what family is. You don't have to call it family. It just is, and he's called us to be the family of God. And if you're going through all the same stuff that we're going through,
but you're doing it outside of family, think about it. That's got to be horrific. I couldn't imagine. Well, actually, I could, because I remember what it was like when I was going through that without having what God has done with us today in regards to family. Yeah, I mean, you might have had somebody that's friended you on Facebook, but, you know, just friending somebody does not mean that they're a friend. I mean, you think about it. If you had a, I know this, John. Remember when we went to help out with the hurricanes that happened in New Orleans?
Right.
And, you know, it was just horrific what happened, and still have scars today inside of our heart for what happened. It was so bad, couldn't fix it. And the crux of it really was in Waveland that was flattened, and then the waters, you know, busted in New Orleans and flooded. But, you know, the church didn't know each other, and they were scattered all over the place, and they couldn't find the church because there was no authentic family-type burdened relationship. So other parts of the church who didn't know the parts of the church come in and start helping everybody. But when we go back there, you remember when Pat and I had went back there, the Lord sent us back to New Orleans, and we were talking to Leo DeJesus and Sandy, awesome man and woman of God. And Leo, if you're listening today, Sandy, if you're listening today, we love you. You guys are so encouraging to us. And he has this wonderful upper room in his house that overlooks the Mississippi, looking right on the city of New Orleans. It's the city he's in is Gretna. He's in Gretna, overlooking the Mississippi. And he said that, but the pastors left the church. They just left. The shepherds, they left, you know. And Jesus says that's a hireling. It's a hireling. But I have empathy, though, for a leader of a traditional situation because, you know, it goes both ways. You know, they don't have a relationship with you. You don't have a relationship with them. And the thing about family is you both have to invest.
That's right.
You know, but it's hard to do in that kind of setting. Well, I encourage you, if you haven't even thought about, you know, just walking out what God says in his word, that it's not foreign. It really is true. It's happening at the Vine Fellowship Network. It's actually happening. You can go to VFNfamily.org and find out more about it.